The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show.
It's the show you've all been waiting for. Until now. Until literally right now.
Now!
Literally right now. Literally. Now your host, Eric Metaxas.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. You know, in this Christmas season, we like to do something genuinely spectacular. There's evil in the world, and every now and again, we get to partner with CSI, Christian Solidarity International, to combat evil in a way that is palpable, that is absolutely possible. We can free people from slavery. Doesn't seem real, does it? It's real. We in America, anyone who's listening to this program can do something about it. It is a spectacular opportunity. And I wanted my friend Kevin McCullough to tell us more about the opportunity because he knows about this stuff. He's worked with CSI. Kevin, welcome.
Hey, Eric. Seems like I'm on your show every day these days.
Why not?
It's good to be back. Hey, it's fun. Let's keep
it's
going.
It's more fun to talk about what great things we can do than about, you know, how difficult everything is in the United States and all our problems. This is something I keep saying. It's like what, you know, the Jews call a mitzvah. You can do a good act. It is just a spectacular thing that you can just do this thing with a certain amount of money. You can do this good thing and there's nothing to say about it. It's just all good and wonderful. And I think when you have that opportunity, you're sort of obliged to take it.
Well, you know, what's funny, Eric, is, you know, you and I live in the New York area and we rub shoulders with people that a lot of times disagree with us on a lot of things from the basis of our faith and worldview. But one thing I've never found any of them willing to criticize for is the involvement that I've had to talk about CSI and tell others about CSI and the releasing people from slavery. And I don't know if this will come through on the camera, but I wanted you to see this picture of a woman named Abuk. I want you to notice something about her face. Eric, what is that right there in the middle of her face?
It looks like pure joy as expressed in a smile, but it's more than a smile. I mean, that's kind of an amazing.
It's one of the most happiest expressions I think that has ever been captured in photography. And to for those that are listening, she has this huge smile. And if you knew what this woman had been through prior to taking that picture, you would say that that smile is in fact a miracle, because that woman had no reason to have a smile that big on her face. She's also holding in this same picture a bag that says CSI on it. And people may be wondering, well, what is that bag? Why does it have CSI plastered on it? Well, that is a part of what's called the Sack of Hope that is given to these women that are liberated from slavery. And when they are begun to be relocated back to where their family originated from or where their family is at. And we've never talked about this element of it, Eric, but when you go and retrieve the slave and you bring them to the recovery camp at the border of South Sudan, and then they have some time to recover, then there's this last part of the journey, which is the going back home. But it is unlike any homecoming you've ever seen in your life. You know, this year, Mr. Fauci is saying, don't do Christmas. He's saying no Christmas for you. And we're holding to just the opposite of that in CSI. We're saying, let's make Christmas big for these slaves. And when they come in, they hold a party like you've never seen. The entire village comes out. There is a huge, enormous gathering of people that come out and they sing hymns. They sing hymns praising God for the return home of this loved one that they had. And it is absolutely unlike anything that has ever been conceived of in this particular slave's heart. Because for the years previous to that, all they have known is heartache. All they have known is indentured labor. All they've known is sexual abuse and verbal abuse and physical abuse. And at the end of the day, to come home, to have people who love you, that sing praises to God because you are free and capable of living your life again. It is that mitzvah that you were talking about. It is unlike any other good that I've ever witnessed. And it makes my heart so full.
I mean, I keep having to step outside myself. You know, you think this can't be real. It's so hard to communicate these things because we live in a country, we are so blessed with freedom. We can't begin to imagine what it would be like to live in a place where slavery is possible. Talking about living in the Iron Age or something, it doesn't seem possible from where we are. And yet right now it's happening. Right now, women like the woman you just showed on camera, and again, this is a radio show, but we also are on YouTube. So go to our YouTube channel, the Eric Metaxas Show, and you can see these things. But that photo, it just knocks me back because I think that's a real person.
Yeah.
That is obviously a person who is experiencing a kind of joy that doesn't seem possible in this world because we've never experienced the evil that she's experienced.
Well,
and you're able to do something about it.
And I want your listeners to understand something here. You've been in coordination with CSI. There are negotiations underway for 350 slaves, just like Abuk, to be released. And those negotiations are well down the path of ready to be liberated. And I'm thinking, what better Christmas present could you give a human being than to literally give them the gift of life back that they had robbed from them? Many of these women were kidnapped as teenagers or even younger. They have seen the worst dark side of humanity, repetitive rape, female genital mutilation, things that you and I wouldn't even say in front of our daughters, much less ever expect them to occur. And yet that's what the life of these women have endured over and over and over again. When CSI finds them, when they talk to the slave owners and they say, hey, here's a cattle for your vaccine that you desperately need and can't get, just let me have the freedom of this woman in exchange. And then they make that exchange. That's a powerful thing. But then to go back and to be given the sack of hope, which includes everything they need to start their new life, enough grain to feed them for a year, enough seed to plant for future years, fishing tools, micro commerce abilities with a she-goat and the ability to not only produce milk and dairy products, but also to then breed other goats. You've got an opportunity to literally give this woman who's in all likelihood for the past number of years, not had anything of her own, no personal possession, no dignity, no privacy, no ability to even keep her own name. Most of these women are given an Islamic name by the Islamist slave owner. And they are told, if you even repeat your name, if you remember your name, we'll kill you. This is the opportunity to literally give them back everything that their life has had robbed from it. And for only $250.
Kevin, I just thought of two things real quick. First of all, anybody old enough to remember the miniseries Roots in the 70s, we remember that famous moment where Kunta Kinte is insisting that is his African name. And the slave owner is forcing him, doing a horrible thing. I won't even bring it up on the air, but to take your name from you. And these are Christians being told, you are now going to be Muslim. You're never going to be able to say your Christian name. I want to say, by the way, anybody listening, if you want to share your faith with someone, can you imagine if you're able to say to somebody, in your name, I gave enough money to free someone from slavery in Africa? You want to talk about what a witness of the love of Jesus that is to somebody who maybe doesn't know anything about the God of the Bible or thinks Christians are just a bunch of kooks or something. You express your love in that way with your own money and do it in the name of someone. Even if you can't do $250, whatever it is, that says something really important about what it means to be a person of the book, a person of the Bible, a person right, who worships the God that died for us. That's why it's such a wonderful thing to do around Christmas.
Well, and I think that if you ask yourself today, and maybe you're somewhere on the spectrum, maybe you said, well, I can't do 250, but could I give a monthly gift of $25 for the next 10 months? Hey, that would work. You would liberate one human life. But I know that there are a few people, Eric, listening within your listening audience that could do 25,000 $1,000 and literally liberate a thousand or a hundred slaves. And the joy that you'll get, whether you're on one end of that spectrum or another, by taking the step to do it,
oh my god,
is really undescribable.
I'm gonna give the phone number, folks. You can call right now, 888-253-3522. Go to our website, MetaxasTalk.com. You'll see the CSI banner, or call 888-253-3522. Thank you, Kevin. Hey there, folks. Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. They didn't name the show after me. I was actually named after the show. We realized that the Eric Metaxas Show existed, so I changed my name to Eric Metaxas. I don't need to go into that right now because I've got a very exciting guest. This guest is the point of the show. The show's not about me. It's about my guest. My guest right now, you probably know him. His name is John Cooper. Part of a band called Skillet. Have you heard of it? John Cooper, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's great to see you again, brother.
I'm already forgetting your wife's name. She's definitely the lovelier of the two of you. No offense.
Yes, she is. Her name is Corey.
How could I forget Corey? Well, she was the one I was making fun of her tattoos and stuff. And I know that you grew all this facial hair to cover up your tattoos. But I got to tell you, my friend, the last time you were on this program, we got so many people watching. I just thought to myself, wow, I am just so thrilled that you guys have that kind of an audience. For people who don't know you, and I know there are some people tuning in right now who don't know you, you and Corey, you're the band Skillet. You guys are huge, 12 million albums. That does not mean you recorded 12 million albums. You just recorded a few albums, but they sold 12 million copies. You've got Grammy nominations. Let's cut to the chase. You're one of the biggest rock bands in the world, and you are a Jesus freak, as I understand it. I'm also a Jesus freak, minus the beard. I know I should have a beard, but I want to talk to you because you've got a book out. You've got a brand new book out. Rock dudes don't normally write books, especially books about the Jesus freak side of their personality. So tell us, my friend, my brother, what is the name of this book that you just launched? You launched a book that you just started selling.
Yeah. The book is called Awake and Alive to Truth. And I wrote it in literally like 13 countries because we were touring. But, you know, I started noticing the same thing everywhere I went, not just America, Russia, Europe, Australia. I noticed the same thing, that society no longer believes in truth. We are a full-on post-truth society, and it took me a while to understand what was going on. I just noticed, like, everything's changing. Why are people so confused? And it's even happening in the church, relativism coming into the church. So I thought maybe I could write a book about my testimony, but also give a little bit of the philosophy of what's going on and explain that there's two ways to find truth. One leads to life, the other leads to death, and choose Christ. He is the only way to life. And I wanted to write a book about those things. So I'm excited that it's finally out.
I want to read. Well, I'm very excited for you. And I want to say it's about time you distance yourself from Corey and went out on your own. I believe you've got an amazing career ahead of you. Okay. Seriously, though. This is exciting when a person who has been, you know, like a rock star for a long time says, I want to write a book. The title of the book, for folks that want to know in case they weren't listening, it's Awake and Alive to Truth, Finding Truth in a Relativistic World. Now, John, seriously, this is the issue of our time. There's no question about it. I talk about it all the time, but I am particularly thrilled you wrote a book about it. I know that you're speaking to us from Kenosha, Wisconsin, the scene of outrageous violence, which I would argue is fruit of relativism. We don't need to go into that. But the point is that everybody wonders what's going on in life. Why is everything going haywire? It boils down to the fact that we've taken our eyes off of the truth. Many people don't believe there's such a thing as truth, and it leads to all kinds of bad stuff. What, when you say your testimony, I know that that's part of this book. You tell your story. Tell us a little bit about that so folks can get to know how you got to be where you are theologically and so on.
Sure. Well, I will say I agree with you. I think what we experienced in Kenosha, by the way, it was literally three blocks that way from my house. Just three blocks down there is where the downtown got burned. People got killed, shot and killed. And I do believe that it's a result of relativism. My mom was a Jesus freak. So I was raised in a Christian family. My mom taught me about the Bible ever since I was a kid. And, you know, for 20 years on the road, people always ask, what's the best advice you've ever been given? And I say, the best advice I've ever been given is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. It is the foundation of life. If you build your life on top of the words of Jesus Christ, and of course the scriptures, then you will be unshakable because you are in line with the Creator. But if you don't build your life on that foundation, then everything else is going to fall. And I think we're even seeing that in America. We're even seeing it in the Christian church in America at large. The Christian church no longer believes in the absolute truth of the word. We've replaced it with emotionalism. We've replaced it with the way we feel like that we want things to be. And we've replaced it with putting ourselves on the throne. So this book talks about some of the philosophies of the day, a little bit about critical race theory, a little bit about postmodernism, identity politics, how that's coming. But it leads to that. So you can break those things down and then get to authority of scripture. Because without authority of scripture, we don't have anything to build our lives on. And the reason I'm so passionate about it is in my line of work, I ran into so many professing Christians who said, John, I'm totally into Jesus. I'm just not into the Bible. And I kept thinking, that's not even possible. That doesn't even make any sense. Jesus is the word. So I call this book Theology for Dummies. Maybe you can't sit through a John Calvin book. You can sit through my book. And I hope that it can help people who are outside of the faith, maybe not even familiar with Christianity, understand authority of scripture and the person of Jesus Christ, who is fully man, but also incarnate God.
You know, I already knew that you were really, really smart, but people are just tuning in. They see the beard, the flannel shirt. You're kind of got a costume to throw people off the track. You're hiding your genius and your intelligence and your erudition behind the mask. I do just the opposite. I dress this way to get people thinking he must be smart because he's got on a tie and the horn-rimmed glasses and stuff. It's all a game, man. But we're talking about the same stuff here. And you know what I find funny, John, is that there are people who literally don't believe there is such a thing as truth, right? Yeah. Now, the fact is that if you try to think about these things, you can come to the conclusion that it doesn't make sense that there is no truth. In other words, you can get there, right? You don't need a revelation. Yeah. Now, on some level, to get to any truth, you need a revelation. So I don't want to get into the theology of that. But the point is that I want to challenge people, and I try to do this on my program, and you're doing this in your book and with your life, to challenge people and say, can you live in a world where there is no such thing as truth? I don't think you can. I don't think you have the guts to think about it. Let me give you a little nudge to dare to think about this issue. Is there such a thing as truth? And if there is, what can we know? Is it possible that there is a God that loves us, that died for us? I totally believe that. In fact, I'll say, I know it. I know that you know it. And I think it's important for us to challenge people and to say, I don't think your worldview is consistent, and I don't even think you know what you believe. I dare you to think about it.
Mm. You know, I think that that's a great way to say it, and I did talk a little bit about that in the book too. No one actually believes postmodernism. I mean, in academia, it sounds cool to say you believe it, but when your wife cheats on you and says, why? It's not even real anyway. Nobody wants to actually live out. It's a horrible nightmare. And to find the same people constantly virtue signaling about all the good stuff they do whilst not believing in truth makes no sense. Why are you wasting your time? You know, so I do realize, as you say, you know, revelation is one of those things God has to give people, but just note, just saying, hey, you cannot live in that worldview and preach virtue and expect people to treat you the way you wanted to be treated, because it doesn't really work. And I would just say, how's it working out? Look at the TV, look at social media, look at downtown Kenosha, look at what is happening in the world, and tell me, does it seem like things are going well in a world of relativism? And Jesus offers hope, and Jesus offers peace, and that will never fail us, because the word of God is always the same. And doesn't that sound amazing? In 2020, to have something that you can know is never going to change, that it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's great. Really great news.
You know what? Some people call it the good news. And in a way, it really should be called the great news. It is so amazing. And this is what I love, is that when you really think about it, when you really get into it, it's mind-blowing. It's so beautiful and so amazing. And then folks like you and me who've had the privilege of knowing this is true, when you start living it out, you realize, oh my goodness, it is true. It works. I've seen it over and over and over. It's real. When we come back, I want to talk to you more about your life experience and this new book, Awake and Alive to Truth. I'm talking to John Cooper of Skillet. Don't go away.
No surrender, no trigger, fingers go. Living the dangerous life. Hey, 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 every day when I wake.
Are you concerned about memory loss for yourself or a loved one? Susan Gibson's mother had dementia. Susan prayed God would show her the solution to memory loss. And after many divine encounters combining faith and her background as a pharmacist, Susan founded Vivalor and created Glory Day Brain Booster. Glory Day is a premium quality, all-natural supplement with 5 to 20 times more nutrients than any other memory supplement. It won the award for most innovative healthcare regimen in 2020. Visit Vivalor.com for testimonials about the life-changing improvements people have experienced. Glory Day is for those with normal memory, mild or severe memory loss. Don't wait until your memory slips. The pathology that leads to memory loss starts 20 years before your first memory loss symptom. Vivalor is V-I-V-O-L-O-R. At Vivalor.com, enter promo code 20 for 20% off. The makers pray that God's glory rests on every pill. Vivalor.com, V-I-V-O-L-O-R.com.
Folks, I got some embarrassing news to share with you, but you know what? This is just the kind of a show where I don't care. I'm willing to lay my heart, you know, on the line. Here's the issue. Mike Lindell with MyPillow, you may notice that I have a bobblehead of him near me. He's here to remind all of us that when you go to MyPillow.com, you get whopping discounts if you use the code Eric, okay? Now, there are a lot of people who haven't done that, and we have your names here. And Chris Himes and Albin pointed out to me that there's like 3 pages of you whose first name is Eric. You yourself, I mean, that's humiliating for me, that even though your name is Eric, you're still not willing to use the code Eric. I mean, if you don't want to use it because it's my name, use it because it's your name. But the point is that I see who you are. And I just feel humiliated by this. Please go to MyPillow.com. It's okay, Mike. It's going to be okay. Go to MyPillow.com. Use the code Eric. You're going to get whopping savings and really high quality products. Did I mention that? Thank you.
Folks, I'm talking to John Cooper of Skillet. Have you heard of Skillet? Huge rock band. You could tell because he's got the beard and the whole thing, right, John? It's like the thing. You have to do that. You don't want to look like me.
Absolutely.
You don't want to look like me and be in a rock band. Listen, you talk about so much in this book. It's called Awake and Alive to Truth, Finding Truth in a Relativistic World. You talk about critical race theory. That is a heavy subject. Break that down, because you kind of hear about that. It has infected everything. It is evil, but most people don't know what it is. Talk a little bit about what you say.
Absolutely. You're right. It is evil. When I discovered critical race theory, 2015, it was like, oh, now I understand the world that I'm looking at. Because even if you don't understand the philosophy, You see it in every little thing that happens. You go, oh, I see why they're saying that. It's because of the effects of critical race theory. But basically what it's going to do is it's going to break everybody down into two groups. You're either oppressed or you are an oppressor. And it breaks you down into identity groups. And certain ones, as we know, like if you're like me and you, if you're white, male, heterosexual, cisgendered, Christian, then you are the ultimate oppressor in America. And whether you are aware that you've done anything or not, you are a part of a system that is brutalized, raped, you know, pillaged, stolen. That is the legacy that you live in. And okay, if now you look at...
Yeah. No, let me just interrupt real quick. What you just said, what I find so fascinating is another way of describing what you just talked about is basically racism, right? In other words, I say that group is bad. That group, it's like group. What do you mean group? Because one black guy did that to you, all blacks are like that. Is that what you're saying? That's called racism. And that's what they did to the Jews. They said, well, you're a Jew, right? Well, the guy says, yeah, but my parents converted to Christianity. We go to church. It's like, no. You have Jewish blood. You're evil.
Yeah.
And he would say, well, what have I done? What have you done? It's not what you've done. It's who you are. You're evil. That is a satanic doctrine. And what you've just described, people all over the world in universities are this is the doctrine they're preaching without realizing that it is straight up racial. It is racist. It is evil.
Yes, it is.
So keep going. But I just thought to myself, it's so fascinating. They give it a new name and they make it sound plausible.
Well, that's what communism does, right? Yeah, that's exactly accurate. It is racism. It just sounds a little different and it sounds a lot smarter, but it's not smarter. And I do believe it's a satanic doctrine. The crazy thing is how much that doctrine has even come into the church. I can't believe it. Now, in the church, in theology, they cover it up with a really great name, which is called standpoint epistemology. And what it means is that I am a part of a group and my group identity gives me access to a truth that someone outside of my group can never have. So it changes the idea of what truth is. And so I talk about it briefly in the book, but just to say in Christianity, in Jesus Christ, we have the wonderful counselor and he is the wonderful counselor for everybody, for each individual, no matter if you're rich, poor, white, black, whatever color you are, he is the wonderful counselor. He is the truth. All this other stuff is breaking us down into division. And I think it's really ripping America apart, but it's ripping the American church apart as well. And it really is racism. It's a way to get us thinking in little groups. And it's a part of like grievance culture and all those things. And I find that
and it
so
feels
divisive.
Good.
We've
got to say that, though, John, is that it feels good. Listen, I'm not like judging people because I was there when I was in college. I was part of this kind of thinking. Right. The school that I went to, everybody out around me was part of this thinking. And it felt so good to hate the rich people, to hate the oppressors. It felt so good. It made me feel so self-righteous. I come from a working class background and, you know, the people in power are evil. And it just felt so good. And then when I became a Christian, I realized, uh-oh, it's totally wrong. God says, you, Eric, are guilty. You, Eric, do not deserve my love. And I give it to you freely. Will you share it with others who maybe you think don't deserve it? That's called the gospel of Jesus Christ. So these are so radically opposed. And there are people in the church who just, they're not seeing this. So that's why I wanted to have you on, John, because, you know, you have a huge audience. People need to understand what we're dealing with right now. This is wicked stuff.
Yes, I agree. And I love how you said that. What it comes back down to is that no one can forget that none of us deserve Christ. It's all of grace, all of grace. And once you lose that, I think you lose the beauty of the gospel and you move into self-righteousness, whether it's self-righteousness based on works or self-righteousness based on skin color or wealth or whatever. Either way, you've moved beyond the gospel. And the great news of the gospel is that It's unmerited favor. So I agree with you. I think that's beautiful.
It's so radically opposed to everything that you're talking about, whether we call it critical race theory. It's fundamentally racist in the same way that the Nazi doctrine was fundamentally racist. And anything that's fundamentally racist is anti-God. It's not apart yes. from God. It's anti-God, because the Bible is so clear. And again, you say this in your book, but when we're talking about Jesus is the truth, that's radically different from this stuff. Radically different.
Yeah.
We're gonna go to a break. We'll be right back. Folks, I am talking to John Cooper of Skillet. The new book is Awake and Alive to Truth. Don't go away. Folks, welcome back. I'm talking to John Cooper of Skillet. In case you didn't know, Skillet is a band. Now, John, I got to ask you up front, most important question. Why did you name the band Skillet?
When we got together, we were all from different bands. And my pastor said, hey, you're all from different bands. It's like cooking, taking all these ingredients and throwing it in a big skillet. That was it. It's pretty dumb.
Are you kidding? So fry pan was taken? Fry pan,
yes.
griddle was taken.
Yeah, crock pot, wok. All it was the wok. 90s. I always blame it on the 90s.
You blame it on the. I love it. And you're just famous as, you know, the John Cooper of Skillet. But you've written this book. And this book is some heavy stuff. It's important stuff. Awake and Alive to Truth, Finding Truth in a Relativistic World. What you just said before. You said that, you know, critical race theory and so on and so forth is part of grievance culture, divides us up into groups. And typically it's the oppressed and the oppressors, right? So we are the oppressors, according to that theory. But what I find interesting is that this is the definition of Marxism. In other words, cultural Marxism is just a different kind of Marxism. Marxism used to be like, oh, the workers are oppressed and the rich people are the oppressors. Now they've just switched around the group. So if you're white, you're part of the oppressors. If you're straight or Christian, you're part of the oppressors. But it's basically, we're talking about cultural Marxism. Am I right about that?
From what I understand, you're a lot smarter than me, but from what I understand, that is what cultural Marxism is. And you're right. It does divide us, and it makes certain people guilty, and it makes certain people not guilty. And that is why it's so important that in the church we are clear about the gospel, because you can't have a gospel when some people aren't actually guilty of stuff, or you can't have a gospel, and we see this in theology and like what we call liberation theologies. You can't have a gospel where Christ relates to only certain kinds of people, and that is what they teach in liberation theology. Jesus came for the marginalized. Jesus came for the minority culture. He came for the oppressed only. We have to have the gospel as the word of God tells us, that we are all oppressed by sin. And without Christ, we don't have a prayer. We don't have a prayer of forgiveness. You can never earn salvation. So at the end of the book, I actually present the gospel. This is what it means to come to Christ. And there's two, you can choose life or you can choose death. So it's a very evangelistic book, as well as I hope it can be a book that helps ground especially young people, millennials and young people that are in church and probably are maybe born again, but they don't understand their faith. But they're being bombarded with lies every day. Imagine being a kid, being raised in a culture where truth changes every single day. And the only way to find out is to go on social media and find out what people tell you. You're not allowed to say this. You have to say this. You're not allowed to believe this. That is a chaotic world to grow up in.
Well, and I really think that we need to have our, you know, truth detectors on, our antenna on. When somebody says, don't say this or you can't say that, right away, my instinct is, well, tell me why, because I'm going to say it. Can you explain why I can't say that? Because if you tell me I shouldn't say something tells me maybe I should say it, and you're scared to death of my saying it. Maybe you're scared to death of having this conversation. So you're trying to shut me down. I don't think shutting me down is a good way to convince me that you're right. somehow I know there, yeah. You know, right behind me is the picture of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And he was one of the few Christians in his day who they could smell this stuff. And they said, I don't care if I die fighting this. I'm already dead in Christ. He is my life. Yes. He is life. And I'm going to do everything I can to speak up for truth. And I don't care if people mock me, because I'm playing to an audience of one. That is the Lord. I care about what he thinks of me. And I think, why would we think we'd be any different? Why would we think that in America today, we would be somehow morally superior to the German Christians in Germany during the 30s? We're not. We're no different. Yes. So that's why your message is so important, John, because Awake and Alive to Truth, this book, contains stuff that, you know, a lot of people could go to church for decades. They're never going to hear this from their pulpits. It probably means they're going to the wrong church, but we need this information right now.
Well, I think this is an interesting point you just made, because I've been telling people for the last 7 or 8 years, when I really started noticing stuff is changing in the world, how different this is. See, like 10, 20 years ago, living for Jesus was really just an issue of saying no to the flesh. You know, that was a hedonistic culture of sex, drugs, rock and roll. And you knew what to do to live for Jesus. You said no to those things. Now it's different, because we are being attacked with ideologies that sometimes sound a little like Christianity, but they are actually, you know, putting themselves up against Christianity. So you're right. We have to have the eyes to see what is happening in the world and the ears to know when that doesn't sound like truth. So the battle now isn't just against hedonism. The battle now is against humanism, you know, and this idea that we can all reach utopia. We don't need God. But utopia to some Christians kind of sounds like the kingdom of God, but it's not the same thing.
I was going to say, but that's what makes it so wicked. If I say, hey, I'm the devil, follow me. People be like, oh, I know not to follow him. But if the devil comes as an angel of light, he says, I'm God, follow me. Or you can be God, follow yourself. That is much more tough. And so we need to understand that the counterfeit is the most wicked thing. The thing that comes so close, except it's ultimately opposed. That's what we're talking about. And I want people to understand that's what woke culture is. It pretends to be Christian. It talks about Christianity, except what does it care about right or wrong? It doesn't believe in God. It believes in whatever. We know what it believes in. It believes in nothing, and it doesn't work intellectually. We've just got moments left. John Cooper of Skillet, how do we get your book and stay in touch with you?
Okay, there's only one place to get it, because I self-published it. When I first started talking to publishers, I had tons of publishers wanted to do a book with me until they read it, and then nobody wanted to touch it. And I said, you know what? I have a feeling that the book is maybe a little too honest. It's a little too truthful about the gospel. It's not a Christian self-help book. This takes you back to old wisdom. It's not new wisdom, it's old wisdom.
I love having you on. Give my love to Corey, because I had so much fun when you guys were in the studio. Can't wait till we get back into the normal studio and we can have some fun,
man.
And keep the conversation going. God bless you, man. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Be well. I'm at war with the world and they try to pull me into the dark.
Hey there, folks. I hope you've enjoyed the program. Speaking as the president-elect of the United States, and I expect you to believe me, by the way, folks, when there's a new Me Too movement, when somebody says they are the president-elect, it's on you to believe them, okay? And I hope you believe me that I am, in fact, the president-elect of the United States, because look, the sign says it, duh, okay? How could I just get a sign if it weren't true? We've got a couple of major announcements. Albin Sadar, yes, Albin Sadar, has prepared a special Christmas carol. He is going to sing it now. Before he sings it, I'm going to say you need to go to our website, metaxastalk.com. Give
to CSI. We are freeing slaves in the Sudan. This is an amazing opportunity. I also want to beg you to support our sponsor, MyPillow.com, MyStore.com. Amazing prices on Eric Metaxas books, for example, for Christmas. And you got to use the code Eric. All right, Albin.
Yes.
My friend, this is a holy moment.
Yes,
during this Advent season. You have prepared a special Christmas carol. My brother, please share it with the group.
Okay. Well, you know, it's 2020 and we need a special song that kind of signifies what 2020 is all about.
Yes.
And yes. So we need an Antifa Christmas call.
Yes.
Right.
We've all been saying that. We need an Antifa Christmas carol.
We do. And so I've got Deck the Halls, but I kind of tweaked it a little bit. So if you don't mind, I'd like to sing it now.
Yes, yes, okay, yes, please, tune, please.
To the tune of Deck the Halls. Here we go. Burn the halls with Molotov cocktails, Antifa la 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 la. See the blazing shops before us, Antifa la 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 la. Don we now our masks and baseball bats, Antifa, Antifa, la la la. While we steal your hard-earned treasure, Antifa, la 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 la.
Oh my gosh, that is so heartwarming. I'm going to beg you to sing that again. Please, please. This is, the world needs to hear this message of healing. Sing it again, please.
Burn the halls with Molotov cocktails, Antifa, la 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 la. See the blazing shops before us, Antifa, la 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 la. Don we now our masks and baseball bats, Antifa, Antifa, la la la. While we steal your hard-earned treasure, Antifa, la 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 la.
Wow, wow. Man, if I could find any fault with that, it's just that I think BLM is going to get angry because they had something to do with some of the looting and arson and violence and stuff. But you know what? It's Christmas time. Let's look past that. Albin, that is so beautiful. That is so beautiful. I mean, I think that the only appropriate response by our audience to this outrageous gift you have just given them would be for them to support CSI. I'm going to give that phone number out. Folks, if you want to free a slave, and I don't know who wouldn't want to, the number is 888-253-3522. Or you go to MetaxasTalk.com and you'll see, but we need your help. We're going to send you all kinds of gifts and stuff. I promise you, I'm not going to go into that now, but do this because it's the right thing. The phone number is 888-253-3522. Please do not forget to support our heroic sponsor, Mike Lindell. Go to mystore.com and mypillow.com. Most of my books are there at ridiculous prices. Do not neglect the Mugsy books. They're the most gorgeous heirlooms you'll ever see. Use the code Eric. I think we need to go out with a song.
Antifa, la 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 la.
And scene. Thank you very much.